comes the media images. You must be Mr. Randall.
Yes, I come to see about the position you had advertised.
Now, remind me again what position you were interested in.
Yeah, listed an opening for a father.
Oh, that. Very good. Now, which father opening are you applying for?
There's more than one.
Most definitely, we here at Media Images create many different types of fathers.
Oh, I didn't realize that. What options do I have?
Well, for instance, you could be a beer commercial father.
And what do I have to do for that?
All you have to do is stand next to a gorgeous model or sports figure and say, "Tastes great," and then you drink the beer.
Tastes great? That's all I get to say?
Well, after 23 takes and downing a beer at the end of each take, "Tastes great" will be all about all you can manage to say.
Oh, well, I don't want to mess up my Methodist image. Is there anything else?
Let's see. How about a car commercial father?
What does this involve?
You can choose driving either a sports car or a rugged off-road truck.
That sounds exciting.
In both, you have to demonstrate your passionate desire and unfailing commitment to the vehicle. You know, longing looks and set jaw determination to keep the relationship strong, the whole bit.
Relationship with the vehicle? Don't you have say the relationship thing for children?
Children? What children?
Well, since I'm playing a father, I assume children will be involved.
No, children would upset the daring rebel image you're trying to create.
Aren't there any children in car commercials?
Oh, yes. We use children in the minivan commercials all the time.
Good. Sign me up for a minivan commercial.
No, sorry. We can't do that.
Why not?
We only use moms for those commercials.
Are there any father openings that involve children?
Well, I'm sure there must be something in here. Here we are. You could be a soap opera father.
And thus, this father had children.
Oh, yes. But you're never really sure if they're yours.
What?
Well, after several marriages and sixth grade affairs, it gets rather complicated.
I see. Well, couldn't you just run a blood test or something?
Nope, that just wouldn't work.
Why not?
Because you have an evil twin.
I have an evil twin?
Everyone has an evil twin. He could be the father of the child, and well, who would be the wiser?
Are there any other positions?
You could be a teen movie father.
And the description?
You have to be abusive, absent, or hopelessly incompetent.
And the reason being?
So that you can be a source of teenage angst.
Do you have any roles that involve fathers and children?
Ah, we currently have an opening for the Simpsons father.
Simpsons. I've seen that. Homer Simpson acts just like one of the kids. The mother's the only adult. No way. What else?
Berenstain Bears' father? He is the father in a children's book series.
Children's books. That sounds good. What's the description?
All it says is the description for Homer Simpson.
Oh, is that all you have?
Why, you are awfully picky. We here at Media Images pride ourselves in the range of fathers we are able to provide, but you, sir, are making it difficult.
How about a mature, responsible father who makes a positive difference in his children's lives?
I'm sorry, we just have nothing like that.
Nothing? There has to be something.
Well, it's a pretty narrow description of a father that you're looking for.
With the range of fathers you've offered, you're telling me that Media Image doesn't have one that fits my description? I guess I'm looking in the wrong place. I have to look elsewhere. Good day.
Oh, just a minute, sir. Did I tell you about our Super Bowl Sunday father?
In the society we live in, saturated by marketing campaigns and media stereotypes, it's hard not only for dads, but for all of us to find a positive role model for how we want to live our lives. One of the great gifts of being part of the church is that here we can find good examples. Here we are blessed to know dads who put their families first, men who teach Sunday school, people of all ages and stages who keep the church in good repair, offer their talents in leading worship, spend time praying and visiting those who need a friend, and otherwise serving their community in a myriad of ways. another great resource for us as we look for images of who and what we want to be is the Holy Scripture. The Scripture, which preserves for us wisdom and insight about who God is and how God wants us to live. From the Scripture, we know that Jesus often spoke of God as his Father. The word he used, Abba, had connotations more intimate than formal, something like saying Dad or Papa rather than Sir, but implying both a close and a respectful relationship. Jesus spoke to his Abba and about his Abba with great confidence and trust. So if we are trying to find the highest, the most complete, the truest example of what it means to be a father, or more broadly, what it means to guide and nurture someone younger or less experienced on their path through life, then studying the Bible to learn about God is a promising way to go. Our aspiration, of course, is not to try to be God, but to learn some of the attributes of God's character so that we can attempt to incorporate those qualities into our thoughts, words, decisions, and actions. The goal is to reflect God's presence and love and justice and strength and compassion in our lives. Today, in pursuit of some aspects of God's character that might serve as a model for our lives as fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles, caring adults, and responsible citizens of the world, we're going to turn to one of the Psalms. The Psalms, just like Jesus, speak to God and about God in intimate, trusting terms. They are prayers. They are statements of faith that reveal what's important to God and also reveal the various ways that God becomes evident in our lives. No one psalm can encompass all the attributes and works of God, but Psalm 5 touches on at least two aspects of God that seem relevant to Father's Day and to the desire that we all have to fulfill our roles in life with authenticity and integrity. Psalm 5 is about how God inspires and helps us to do what is right, and it celebrates God's willingness to be a refuge and a protection for us. And so I'll read most of the verses of Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my sighing. Listen to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I plead my case to you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil will not sojourn with you. The boastful will not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful. But I, through the steadfast abundance of your love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in awe of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way plain before me. For there is no truth in the mouths of those enemies. Their hearts are destruction. They have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, so that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover them with favor as with a shield. Let's think for a minute about the roles that we fill each day at work, as volunteers in the community, at home. In our teaching, in our leadership, in our management, in our coaching, in our parenting, we want to instill both the ability to distinguish between right and wrong and the desire to do what is right. This is an impulse that first came into the world from God, and it came to us from God. To the writer of this psalm, it is clear that God has very definite standards. God rejects dishonesty, wickedness, arrogance, and the lust for blood. The one speaking to God in this prayer is extremely motivated to do what's right in God's eyes, because this person knows that following God's way ultimately leads to great joy and blessing. The one praying also understands that God's guidance is very much needed in order to stay on the right path. As each day begins, he or she can be found calling out to God, eagerly asking God for help and direction. "Only the abundance of your steadfast love, O God, will get me where I need to go," says the prayer, expressing confidence that God can do in us and for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God is both the inspiration and the means for doing what is right, doing what is life-giving, doing what serves the good of all. Now, besides moral guidance and the strength to avoid and resist evil, the other gift from God that this prayer emphasizes is God's willingness to be a safe place, to be a place of comfort and rest and refuge for those who are striving to do God's will. And this also is something that a loving parent, a good mentor, a loyal sibling, a faithful friend does for another in times of need. We can learn how to serve as a refuge for others from watching God, who, according to Psalm 5, spreads protection over those who seek God and those who love God's name. Living out what we see and hear of God and of God's ways takes place in all kinds of different contexts, depending on the unique circumstances of our lives. How do we discern what is right? How do we inspire others to do it? How do we provide refuge to someone who is in distress? Probably not by consulting media images, but instead by praying as the psalmist does over and over again, "Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Make your way plain before my face." A boy named Joe grew up enchanted by his older sister's imagination and her creativity. When they were children, they played together at being magicians. When they were teenagers, they slept out in the backyard and counted stars together. When Eleanor came home from college, suffering from a severe bout of depression, Joe was deeply troubled and uncertain how to help his beloved older sister. The parents had always surrounded their children with love and faith, and they were reluctant to accept the perspective that Eleanor might need medication in order to lift her depression. But the anguish of seeing the depth of her despair convinced them that it would be worth a try. The remaining obstacle then was that Eleanor herself was afraid of the pills. "Please try the medicine," Joe begged her. "It might help you." "I don't have faith in pills," his sister responded. And Joe said, "You don't have to have faith in the pills. You just have to swallow them. Your faith is in God." Well, it took another conference with the doctor, but remembering that her faith is in God, Eleanor agreed to try the medication. It was the beginning of her recovery. Every situation is different, and God can provide direction as well as a sense of refuge and reassurance in a whole multitude of ways. Tom Montgomery remembers a time when he and his family were at the end of their rope, feeling utterly confused and disheartened. Tom had led them to a remote part of the Philippines with the dream of sharing God's love, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ among the poor and struggling people there. Unfortunately, Tom and his family were totally unprepared for the impact that the poverty, the weather, the living conditions, the rats, would have on their North American middle class sensibilities. Not only were they shocked and disoriented, they felt guilty and embarrassed every time they were offered a bed to sleep in and food to eat by people who obviously did not have enough to go around. "What am I doing here besides using up scarce resources?" Tom remembers wondering. A turning point came when Tom was visiting a small mountain village and was welcomed into a home where several young children lived. Once again, feeling tense because of his inability to communicate in the local dialect, Tom felt that familiar doubt and despair in his stomach. Then one of the children slipped forward, grabbed hold of Tom's beard, and gave it a hard twist. The beard did not come off, and everyone laughed. The host offered Tom some cassava melon, and Tom overcame his reluctance, and he accepted. Suddenly, there it was, a place of refuge. Tom was laughing and eating together with people whose lives seemed strange and impossible to him, yet whom he wanted to know as friends. He began to feel hopeful that he had been right to bring his family such a distance after all, that God's wisdom and grace were at work, and that perhaps he had something to give as well as to receive. His skin was still stinging from where those small hands had tried to yank off his beard, and that sensation, along with the cassava juice running down his chin, was giving Tom, in that moment, a sense of belonging. Let all who take refuge in God rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. God has given us God's very self as an example and a model for how we can live in meaningful, constructive, helpful, and rewarding ways. The gift of God's self comes to us by way of the Scripture, by way of Jesus Christ, and by way of God's people, the church, sitting here around us. God inspires us to strive for what is right. And as God does that in our lives, we seek then to inspire and motivate others. As God is our refuge and our dwelling place, we are moved then to offer all that we have and all that we are to create a safe haven and a secure home for those whom God places in our care. As we turn now to God in prayer, we begin by expressing love and gratitude. The words of our song, "Our Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth." Holy God, we are grateful today to have a place of meaning and value where we can turn for instruction and example in how to live. We thank you for the Bible and for opportunities to study it. We thank you for support groups and mission groups, prayer chains, and social events where we can come to know one another and learn from each other's life experiences. We may never find ourselves in media images, Lord, but that's okay with us because we know that we will find ourselves here with you. We pray today for all fathers, the grace to be both a strength and a refuge to their children, teaching them to know and do what is right, welcoming them with open arms and deep love, even when things have not gone well for them. We pray, Lord, for fathers and mothers in places where the fabric of life has been torn and many are dying due to hatred that finds expression in terrible violence. We pray that humanity would come to its senses, Lord, and stop the killing and destruction. We pray that humanity would follow your lead in finding and creating a way for everyone to live in peace and unafraid. We pray for the health and the well-being of your children everywhere. We know there is not one who is unnoticed by you. Your love encompasses all. Our hearts and minds are full with news of the world, events of the week, thoughts of people we love and care about who need your healing power. And so we cling, Lord, to your promise that life is stronger than death. And we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.